the little man from the moon is here because he loves you. I'm here to bring Jesus Christ to each one of you, that you might have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Of course, really, I can't bring him to you. I can tell you about him. But God has already done that, because he chose to send Jesus to the earth, that he would be revealed, and you would be able to learn about him and believe in him and receive in him. So that gift has already been offered. That's the most precious thing I can offer to you. And so I trust tonight that you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life will be blessed. And you'll have that resource, that new power that you need. Because there are evil days upon the earth, and we need the Lord more than ever before. Well, tonight I want to share with you how the Lord has touched my life, how I grew in the knowledge of the Lord. Fortunately, I grew up in a Christian home, and for many years I thought I was a Christian. But then we moved around a lot when I was growing up. I was born in the north, and we moved to the south, then to the west, then back to the east. We moved all over the country. In fact, when I was selected for an astronaut, they said I had a very unstable childhood because we moved around so much. But really, that moving around brought us closer together as a family. But when we were down in the southern part of the country, in Florida, went to revival service. It happened to be in a Baptist church. I didn't know it was a Baptist church when I went in. We were just out for a walk. It was a hot summer evening. My mother and brother and I, and we walked by this little church, and we heard the music, and we were just drawn into the church. The one who spoke that night explained, to be a Christian, you must invite Jesus into your life. You just don't grow up to be a Christian. Just going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but you must make a decision. You must invite him into your life. And I realized I'd never made that decision. I'd never made that commitment to Christ. He pointed out in the scriptures very clearly that you must believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, and then with your mouth you invite him into your life. And I had never taken that step of commitment. So that night I wanted to get right with the Lord. I put up my hand to receive the Lord, and then I came forward for prayer. And it was just tears of joy coming down my face as I said, "Yes, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I'm facing problems. I can't do it myself, and I need that new resource." I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. It was the happiest moment in my life. Tears of joy flowing down my face. Looking back on it now, I realize the most important decision I've ever made in my life. Didn't realize that then. Didn't realize that importance. Well, for a few years I served the Lord in youth work. But then I must confess that when I went into the military life and into aviation, I began to drift from the Lord, from that close walk with the Lord. My life in the military was one of aviation. I loved airplanes. I wanted to fly everything I get my hands on. I wanted to fly high and fast. That led me to try to become a test pilot. Finally, after 10 years of trying, I finally went to test pilot school, and I was assigned to that famous project that set the speed and altitude record. Oh, I thought I was a hot pilot. Like, I thought I was the hottest pilot in the sky. I thought I was number one. I was very proud. The Lord dealt with that because I had that horrible accident. When I almost was killed. But then it was a question as whether I'd ever be able to walk. But the Lord answered so many prayers because I was able to walk again. The greatest miracle is I was allowed to fly again. I had to wait 2 years for that, though, rehabilitate myself. Finally, flew the fast airplane, but now it was obvious that man could fly higher and faster. Because now man had entered space. The Soviets had just launched their first cosmonaut, Gagarin. So it was obvious to the whole world that man had entered this new dimension for flight. I thought that was the ultimate flight, and so naturally I wanted to participate because the dream was still alive. I tried several times to get into the program, and they kept turning me down, and finally I just gave up. I figured I'll never have a chance now. But the next year, they selected a record number of new astronauts, and I was included. So in 1966, I became an astronaut. And then I trained for 5 years for the flight. And you might say, that's a long time to train. Well, that is a long time, but the time went quickly because there was so much to learn. And my daily prayer is, Lord, if you now let me go a little higher, you must help me learn all these new things. And the Lord answered that prayer because in the summer of 1971, our instructors said, we're ready. They said, you're as safe as we can make you. We hope you'll be successful. And so we made preparations to leave the earth. The morning of launch was very busy. They awakened us at 4:30. They fed us a big breakfast. Then they put us in our fancy spacesuit. We refer to the suit as the moon cocoon, because that's exactly what it is. You know, it's a shell, but not a thin shell, but a rather thick shell that protects us from the harsh environment of space. Inside contains everything that we need for life. They tested our cocoons to make sure they were perfect. Then they took us down and they put us in the van that drove us slowly to the launch pad. Well, as we drove out that morning, not only was it slow, but it was very quiet. But I wondered, why is it so quiet in here? Because we'd made that drive several times before, and there was always a lot of light conversation. But that morning, not a word was said. And then I realized that we were all thinking a lot, thinking about what we hoped would happen in just a few hours. I also was thinking of the past. My thoughts went back because it was almost exactly 10 years before that I'd been involved in that accident. You know, the doctors had said, Irwin, we don't think you'll ever be able to fly again. Here I am driving out for a flight to the moon. So I knew the Lord had answered my prayer in a beautiful way, because not only had I been restored to flight status, been selected as an astronaut, and now considered qualified to go to the moon. Beautiful answer to prayer. And then I thought back 30 years to that night when I invited Jesus into my life. Because I knew there was a lot of uncertainty in space flight. So many things can happen that would prevent our return to the earth. But because of my faith and my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew my final destination if I could not come back here. And that was a very comforting thought. We were ready for everything. Everything, anything. We thought that flying in space was the most important thing we could do with our lives at that point. We were willing to give our lives, but we hoped that would not be required. We had that type of dedication. Had a lot of thoughts as we drove out. But finally, we arrive at the launch pad. They take us out. They put us in the elevator. Takes us slowly to the top of the tower. And they put us in the rocket very carefully, in the spacecraft. They tie us down. They close the door. It gets very quiet. The anticipation builds. So the hours are going by very slowly, but the last minute went very fast. Before I knew it, I heard the word ignition. And I sensed and felt and heard all that tremendous power being released underneath the rocket. It was beginning to lift us off the earth. 7.5 million pounds of thrust lifting us off. Oh, what a glorious moment it was. It was almost the happiest moment of my life. Once again, there were tears of joy coming down my face. It was almost as happy as that night when I invited the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. To realize after all of these years of training, preparation, at last it's my turn. At last I'm leaving the earth. I'm going into space. Going to the moon, a place that I dreamed about visiting when I was just a little boy. And so on the morning of July 26th of 1971, over 17 years ago, we went into space. I hope I'll never forget the details of that flight, because it was a flight that really changed the direction of my life. 12 minutes later, we were in orbit around the Earth. We came over Australia twice. After our second pass, they said, everything looks good. You can now go to the moon. And so as we approached Hawaii, we fired the engine again. It accelerated us now to 25,000 miles an hour, and we were on course for the moon. We looked out the window that afternoon, and we saw the Earth for the first time. Saw it small enough we could hold it. It seemed to be the size of a basketball, but a beautiful blue sphere in the blackness of space. The next day, we looked out the window, and now it was just the size of a baseball. The next day, it was the size of a golf ball. Then finally, it was just the size of a marble. Then we knew we were alone. Then we were at the moon. We went into orbit around the moon, spent about a day resting, checking out the lunar module, and then we descended to the surface. And we landed in a beautiful little valley in the high mountains of the moon. And we did have a very hard landing. I was so startled when we hit that I said, bam. Now the press reported it, I think, as something else. But I said, bam. I was so startled. And I wondered, we've hit so hard, something has been damaged. I don't know whether we'll ever be able to leave the moon. So we held our breath while they checked everything over. Finally they said, it looks good, you can stay. So we relaxed. We were on the moon. We looked out the windows and there were the high mountains, the Apennine Mountains towering 15,000 feet above us. Spectacular scenery. Got a little rest. Next day, we got out and I did have a little difficulty coming down the ladder. One of life's embarrassing moments, but I did recover my balance. That's why I disappeared. Went right around behind the ladder. I looked up and not only did I see the mountains, but overhead was the earth. And I was reminded that I'm no longer on the earth, but I'm on another world. I'm on the moon. And it wasn't long before I was aware that a strange thing was happening, because I was just so aware that God was there. The Lord was there. I never saw Him, but I was just aware that He was there. I think He was there because of the prayers of His people. Because you were praying for three lonely men a quarter of a million miles away from the earth. You were concerned for us. Thank you for your prayers. I don't know that I'd ever have so many prayers for my welfare. Millions, perhaps billions of people were praying for us. God was there. He was there to answer prayer. Many times He answered prayer. There were many immediate answers to prayer. The most dramatic was when I was trying to deploy the central station of the scientific base. We'd already placed the experiments out on the surface of the moon, and they're fed into that central unit. That central unit, once it's elevated, becomes the transmitter. Sends all those signals back to Earth. Well, when I went over to release that central unit, something within it failed. And that had never happened in all the years of practice. And so I'm looking down at this useless piece of equipment, and in my confusion, I said, Lord, what shall I do? And I heard these words, Jim, down on your knees. So I simply sank to my knees there by this package. And in that position, I could see what had happened, what had failed, because there was an opening in the top of it. I looked in there, and I was able to actually place my hand inside. But I had those big space gloves on, but I could still get them in. I removed the failed part. When I did so, then the station was released. It just started coming up like a little altar right in front of me. I just thanked the Lord for that immediate answer to prayer. You know how thrilling that is to have immediate answer to prayer, no matter where you are. But particularly when you're out on the moon, you know, a quarter of a million miles away from Earth. So it was a beautiful answer to prayer. Well, there were other answers to prayer. There was the discovery of the white rock. The scientists wanted us very much to find a white rock. Because if you look at the mountains of the moon, you can see they're almost white. And for that reason and some other reasons, they suspected to be a lot of white rocks in the mountains of the moon. They wanted us very much to find such a rock. Well, when we got to the moon, we checked out the little automobile and we drove the car to the base of the mountain. And we looked up and we didn't see any white rocks. We saw a lot of dust, and the dust was dark gray, and it covered over most of the rock, so we knew it was going to be difficult. The next day, we drove back to the mountain, but this time we went a little farther to the east, and then we felt that we should try to drive up the mountain. We didn't know how well that would work, because we hadn't driven the car up any hill. But that little car went up the mountain just as well as it went on the level, about 10 miles an hour, right up the hill. Good four-wheel drive. Drove up about 1,000 feet, and we stopped there because it got very steep. And we didn't see any white rocks above us, didn't see any in that area, so we decided we'll try to drive across the mountain, across the face of it. Now, this was a little more difficult because the car kept slipping sideways. We just kind of nosed it up, worked our way across until we came to a small crater. And on the rim of that crater, on another rock, sat the white rock. It was sitting there almost free from dust. And it seemed to be saying, here am I, take me. So all he had to do was drive over to it, and we announced we found it. We found the rock that you wanted us to find. And almost immediately, someone in the press room down in Houston labeled it the Genesis Rock. Because he knew how important this rock would be. Important to us, because they said if you just find one white rock, your mission will be a success. It would also be very important to the scientists, as they tried to understand the early history of the moon. So we found the white rock. It's the only pure white rock returned from the moon. But isn't it amazing it was there so obvious? It was though God Himself had lifted it up, blew the dust off, and just placed it there. Made it so easy for us. So when Dave and I found it, we both thanked the Lord for its discovery. Beautiful answer to prayer. And also an example of God's guidance in a faraway land. The discovery of the white rock. Oh, I should also tell you, this is just a plastic model of that rock. See, you're disappointed. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't bring the real thing. But unfortunately, there's not much left of the real rock because they've cut it up into many small pieces, sending it to scientists around the world so they might understand a little more about the white rock and about the early history of the moon. This is just a plastic model. I'm sorry. But I'm glad they made it for me, so at least I have that much to share with you. Then the last day on the moon was a Sunday, and since we had a little automobile there, we were out for a Sunday afternoon drive. And perhaps you were watching us on your television, and maybe you just sensed the inspiration that was taking place. Remember when Dave said, "Jim, isn't it a beautiful day? Look at those spectacular mountains." I said, I was so inspired, I said, "Dave, it just reminds me of a favorite biblical passage, that first verse from Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help?" Then immediately I added, "Well, we do get a good bit of help from Mission Control in Houston, too." I was afraid if I didn't give them almost equal credit, they might turn the radio off. And then we'd be in serious trouble. Then we'd really know where our help was coming from. At that point, I knew where my help was coming from, that truly my help was coming from the Lord, the one who had made the heavens, made the earth, made the moon, and made it possible for us to go there. So I knew that the Lord was there in a beautiful way to answer prayer, to guide us to our important discovery, to inspire me to quote from the Bible. And then He made it possible for us to view the earth as He must view it. And I felt so privileged to see the earth in the black canopy of space. Here I am standing on the moon where there's no life, there's no sound, and there's no sky. There's so much reflected light from the sun, you can't even see the stars. So in that black canopy of space was the earth. Beautiful blue jewel in the blackness of space. And then I was surprised it was so small, because it was just the size of a marble. I could hold it between my fingers, or I could cover it completely with my thumb. But my thumb was a little bigger then because I had my space gloves on. I was surprised it was that size. Maybe you're surprised too. Maybe you would think the earth would be much larger than that. But maybe you see the moon larger than this. If that's true, I would suggest you try to hold the moon between your fingers some night. And you'll find that the moon is much smaller. The moon is the size of a very small pea. But try it. It's very interesting. The earth is four times larger. It was the size of a marble. I could hold it between my fingers. As I was looking at the earth, I began to look for signs of life. I knew there was a lot of life there. All of you were there. But I couldn't see any of you. I couldn't see any evidence of your life. I couldn't see any of the large cities, any cities at all on the earth. I couldn't see any of the great construction projects like the Great Wall of China. I could see no evidence of all of life on the blue planet. But yet I knew there was life. It was my home. It was your home. I knew there was a lot of life on the earth. I was reminded of another verse of Scripture. I wish that I'd quoted it. I didn't. It was John 3:16. Let me just paraphrase it tonight to say that God so loves the blue planet that He sent His one and only Son. And for those who would believe in Him, they wouldn't perish, but they would have everlasting life. New life available for each one of us if we just believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So I came back with a new perspective on the earth. Really a new appreciation for the blue planet. A new love for the people on the earth. Just a renewed love for the Lord and a desire to serve Him. So when I came back, I rededicated my life. I said, "Lord, here am I. Take me and use me as an instrument of Your love and send me wherever You will." to tell people that you're alive, that you love us, that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to save us, to bless us, to walk with us, to guide us. And the Lord has answered that prayer because He's kept me busy these last 17 years, sending me around the world again and again, sending me to many countries I'd never even heard of before. But He certainly answered my prayer by sending me to Australia. This is my third visit here. And so I thank the Lord that He's allowed me to travel and to serve Him by serving others. So I'm here as your brother in Christ. I'm here as your servant. I'm here to serve the risen Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my present for you tonight. Telling you that Jesus walking on the earth is more important than man walking on the moon. Because I think that's the most important thing I could ever say. Because I believe, truly believe, the most important thing that's ever happened on the blue planet was the visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to change the destiny of all of us. He came to touch the lives of men and women, boys and girls. To change our lives. To bring new life. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I've come that you might have joy and love and peace. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes on the Father except through me. So He made it so simple that even a child would understand the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. There was never anyone like Jesus. No one ever had His authority. No one ever performed the miracles that He performed. And in the great love that He has for you. Because He went to the cross. And He allowed His life to be taken. His blood was shed for your forgiveness. And we all need forgiveness because we all sinned. We've all fallen short. And then He was resurrected from that grave, demonstrating victory over death itself. And we can share in that victory because of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He ascended into heaven. And He said He would send His Holy Spirit to bless us and to comfort us. To counsel us. He's kept that promise because we have His Holy Spirit here. Can't you just sense the Holy Spirit of God here tonight? Blessing each one of us. He's kept that promise. His Holy Spirit is here. He's alive. The best news, He said, He's coming again. So in Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness for yesterday, there's strength for today, and there's hope for tomorrow. My hope is in no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's your personal Lord and Savior. It was the happiest moment in my life when I simply gave my life to the Lord. And He washed me clean and came in. Because just as Jesus walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, He wants to walk today. He wants to walk in your life. He wants to take your hand and guide you and bring power, bring victory into your life. I don't see how anyone makes it today in this world where there's so many problems and so many evil forces attacking us. Forces that would destroy us as individuals, as families, and as a community. More than ever, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I just trust that tonight will be the night when you will receive Jesus Christ to make the most important decision of your life. Because that decision really determines the quality of your life. The direction of your life, the very purpose of your life. Because once you've invited Jesus into your life, you know why you're here and where you're going. You know that your final destination is not on the earth, but it's in heaven to be with Him for eternity. And so you step into eternity when you step into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you, but He loves you much more. He gave His life for you. Won't you receive Him now? He loves you. He wants to bring joy and love and peace into your life. He wants to bless your life, bless your family, bless your community. Have you invited Jesus into your life? The most important decision you'll ever make concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I'll be praying that this will be your night when you receive my gift, the Lord's gift, God's gift to you, that He sent His precious one and only Son to the earth just for you, to wash you clean, to bring new life, to bring new power, to lift you up, a new resource. Will you receive Him tonight? Will you receive His blessing? It's my birthday present. It's God's birthday present to you. Brothers and sisters, I love you. But Jesus loves you so much more. And He wants to bless your life. Life is not easy. I found that out once I left the space program. I thought it would be all easy once I retired from the space program and serving the Lord. I thought I'd never have any more problems, that the Lord would be with me. But you know, then I developed physical problems, heart problems. You might know I've had 2 heart attacks, heart surgery. Then 2 years ago, I had a heart arrest. That came as a shock to me because I thought I was pretty good health. And it happened just after I was in Australia on that last visit. I looked a little tired in that film, didn't I? Maybe I looked a little tired tonight, I don't know. But when I got back to the United States, it was busy. It's a busy life. You know, I'm in a different country every month, traveling all over the world. But I came home after a busy day and I wanted to get a little exercise, and so I went out for a little jog, and I was running down the dirt road that leads from our home. And as I was going down the road, my wife was just returning from the grocery store. She was coming up the hill and she stopped the car and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going out to get a little exercise." She said, "Well, that's fine." She said, "Hurry home, I'll have dinner ready for you when you get here." I said, "Well, if you can wait just about an hour, I'll take you out to dinner tonight." And she smiled. She says, "Okay, I'll wait." And so I continued down the road. When I got to the highway there, I started up the hill. I hadn't gone very far when I collapsed along the highway. But when I collapsed, my feet were still sticking out on the road as I fell into the deep bushes. Fortunately, 2 young men came up the highway just after I fell, and they saw my feet out on the highway. They knew something was wrong. And so they were kind enough to move my feet off the road. But they noticed that I wasn't breathing and I didn't appear to have any heartbeat. And so they ran to the closest home and they summoned an ambulance. And the ambulance arrived very quickly. But before the ambulance took me to the hospital, they sent someone up to my home to tell my wife what had happened. And they told her that, "Like, your husband's dead. And they're taking him to the hospital." So immediately my wife started praying. And she notified our prayer partners in where we live, and that net expanded across the country. Maybe there were even a few calls to Australia. If you were praying for me, I thank you, because your prayers were answered. Because on the way to the hospital, they were able to shock my heart and get it going again. It wasn't going very well, but at least it was beating again. So I was alive again. I learned later that my wife was praying that I have a life after death experience. She's a woman with great faith. But because of the incident, I have a complete memory loss. 1 week before the incident, 2 weeks after. So 3 weeks of my life are completely gone. I don't remember any of that. So what I'm telling you is just what I've been told. I've been able to add to my testimony, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Because the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the power of prayer, the power in Jesus Christ. Thank you if you were praying for me. I don't know why the Lord extended my life a little longer. I was ready to go. But perhaps He extended my life maybe just so I could come to Australia one more time. If that was the reason, I just thank Him that I could be here with you tonight to share the love of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. And so I bear testimony that God can raise a man who's dead. Bring him back to life. Bring him back to serve. And so I'll be praying for each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ that this will be your night of decision. That you will be lifted up, that you will feel the love of God, and you will respond to the invitation tonight. I don't know what problems you're facing. I don't know whether you have any physical problems, emotional problems, financial problems. I don't know what your problems are. But the Lord does. And He wants to minister to you. He wants to assist you. He wants to guide you. So brothers and sisters, I'll be praying that you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will receive His gift. My gift, but His gift to you. Will you receive Him?